Well, we've got to, believe it or not, the very last chapter of Romans. How about that? That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? And it's basically a list of names. And today's talk is titled, What's in a Name? Well, there's an awful lot in a name. I remember going into a shop, and the, you know how they have the name badges? And the name said Steph. I said, is that Stephanie? She said, oh, don't say Stephanie. When I was naughty, my mum used to say, Stephanie. I prefer Steph, yes. There's a lot in the name, as well as how you say it. Well, I've got a list of names there. Some of them may be yours, maybe not. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 16, and look at some of the significant things about the name. So let's turn to Romans 16, and we'll look at our next slide, if we may, please. I don't really, but it's good for the hard of hearing.
Not quite sure.
There we are, yes. I've got Sherlock Holmes there. There's a picture of Sherlock looking at this crowd of people, and that's what we're going to do. You're going to be Sherlock today and look at this crowd of people that turn up in Romans chapter 16. The thing about them is, Paul is signing off his letter, but it's not just Yours sincerely, Paul. He has a lot more to say than that, for good reasons. It's a list of the people that Paul knew, who were now in the part of the early church. As we look at them, we'll get a clue of how the church worked, the sort of things that were going on, the sort of things that perhaps we ought to be copying as well. And they were people that Paul knew, and it gives us an insight into the life and the times of the Christians in Paul's day. So that's what it's about, okay? So we look at Romans chapter 16, and I'll just read you the first few verses. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to give her the help, give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to me, to many people, including me. I like to learn how to read, won't I? Let's have a look at our next one. There's something interesting about Phoebe, I don't know if you realise this, but Phoebe was the postman. She's been sent by Paul, and she's being introduced to the church at Rome, and she's going there, I assume she's taking the letter. That would be convenient, wouldn't it? The way to do it. So Phoebe, the postman, is a woman, and also, he describes her as, he says, our sister Phoebe. She's a Christian woman, right?
It says here, a deacon.
Ah, we're coming to that, yes. She's described as, in our version, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. Well, she's more than a servant. Well, she's a servant. You can't get better than being a servant, in a sense. But it's a title, it's an official term. She's one of the leadership at the church in Cenchrea. We're going to see this about some of these ladies as we go along, right? She was one of the leadership in the church in Cenchrea, a deaconess. A deaconess is a person who has a specific task ministry of work, you know. In Acts chapter 6, yes, chapter 6, there was the issue of distributing the food to the widows and the orphans and the needy people. And the apostles were so overloaded with other things, they couldn't do that, and so they appointed some very, very prominent people. These weren't low-grade people, these were top-quality people, to do that work. That's a deacon job, it was, as it was called then. Right? They're servants. Don't forget, you're always a servant. Don't think because you've got a badge that makes you above people, that's the thing. But she was a servant at the church in Cenchrea, and she's been recommended by Paul. Paul is sending this letter, and actually including in the letter, hey, she's a good one, look after her, help her, and back her up. Where she needs the help, give it to her. Okay, so he's recommending her, right? And he says, she's got a good record. She has been a great help to many people, including me. So Paul has a personal experience of what a good helping lady this particular lady called Phoebe was. And that's just the first one. How about that? So Phoebe is number one. So let's have a look at our next picture. Yes?
If she was a deaconess, she'd still have the same duties as a male deacon.
Yes. The word deacon in the Greek language is neither male nor female. It can fit both. Right, so she's the deacon, if you want to call it that. It's the same word. Right. Okay, interesting, just to say, by the way, boys and girls, we're going to see that in the church, in the early times, women played quite a prominent part.
They did.
They didn't need voting onto various leadership boards and whatever. They were very active in the church. Okay, ladies? So a boost for you today. Right, let's have a look at the next one then, please. Right. Okay. Romans 3-15 is a very interesting mix of 28 people, 9 of which are ladies. How about that? Right, so they weren't sort of left out of Paul's list. There are some, I don't know if you're aware of this, that describe Paul as a bit of a woman-hater. Right, he's got a down on women, he hasn't. And he wouldn't have included 9 in his list of say hello to them if he had that sort of attitude. No, it's a misunderstanding of Paul altogether. No, ladies are important. Anyway, he writes to various groups of people, quite interesting mix. So let's look at verses 3-6 first of all. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. And greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia." We'll come to him in a moment. But we have this couple called Priscilla and Aquila. Right. Priscilla's the lady, Aquila is the man. Right. And those were what we would call Paul's old friends and co-workers. It seems like he led them to Jesus. You read it in Acts. They were tent makers. They were Jews who had fled from Rome after Claudius had kicked everybody out. And Paul met up with them. And because he was a tent maker, like they were, they teamed up together. And Paul, I'm sure, shared more of Jesus with them. And they became key workers with Paul. This was their husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila, a husband and wife team that were really, really important in the early church. He says that, doesn't he? He says, though all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. And one of the key things that they did was that they were so gracious in the way they dealt with people. There was a guy called Apollos. He was a Jewish academic, we call him. Very clever man. Very clever man. And he spoke about Jesus, but he didn't really know Jesus in that personal way, I guess. And Priscilla and Aquila were at the church, the synagogue, that particular day when he was speaking, and they looked at each other, I guess, and said, "Let's invite him home." So he says, they took him to their home, and they explained to him the word of the Lord more clearly. In other words, they showed him just how important Jesus was and central to their faith. And after that, Apollos was like a rocket. He off into the sky. He was brilliant at telling people about Jesus. So that was Priscilla and Aquila's job. Just one. And he says all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. So he's saying, they were in Rome at the time. They'd gone back to Rome. So he says, "Say hello to them for me, please." Yeah. That's that one. Verse 3-2. And then we've got a chap called Epaphras. Oh, I don't know quite how to pronounce his name. Epaphras or something like that. He was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. How about that? I was number one. I mean, well, it is something to boast about in the sense, isn't it? You could say, Jesus got me first. Right? After all the others. He was the first. And in a way, it is something to be commended. Because when you're the odd bod standing out in a sea of unbelief, it takes a lot of bottle to say, "I stand for Jesus." Yeah? Well, Epaphras is that sort of guy. Paul says, "Say hi to him. He's going to Rome as well." Okay. Next step. Please look at here. We have the husband and wife team and apostles and fellow prisoners. That's up to verse 7. Greet. Oh, by the way, we mustn't forget. Verse 6. Greet Mary, who also worked very hard for you. Now, the thing about the early church and people in those days, they didn't have surnames. It was Mary, daughter of so-and-so, or Mary, son of so-and-so, or no, daughter of Fred or Jim or whatever, you know. We don't have surnames. So, Mary, who's Mary? Why does he say, "Greet Mary"? How many Marys do you think there were in the church of Rome? Quite a few, I should imagine. But this Mary, everybody knows, I assume. Why? Because she stands out. Mary is some Mary, definitely, whoever she was. We're going to find out. One day you're going to meet Mary. And when you see her, you say, "Ah, you're the one!" that Paul talked about.
Right.
And then you'll find out why she got a mention. Right. Then we have verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Right. Now then, interesting. Really, your translation, the NIV does this. It says, greet Andronicus and Junius. Right? Says that?
Yeah.
It does. Yes. It's wrong. Yeah? They've added an S. Right? The Greek can allow you to do that. But it's Andronicus and Junius. It was always Junior until... Yes?
Well, I said hello to cousins.
Says hello to... cousins. Well, we'll come to that in a moment. Yes. Right, yes? I'm talking about their names. What's in the name? Right? The name Junior is female. Right? I suspect they're another husband and wife team. And Paul says they are outstanding people. But he says something else. They're his relatives, so they're Jewish. Okay? We've got that, yes? So they're his relatives. They're Jewish. And he says they are outstanding among the apostles. Right? Now, the apostles are the 12, but there are other apostles as well. An apostle is a church planter. They were the leaders of planting, what's the name, Priscilla and Aquila. Church planters, they're called apostles. It means sent out, right? Why do you think they changed the name of Junior to Junius? I suspect it's because they didn't want to think that a woman might be an apostle. You know, the church has got significantly anti-feminine over the years, it seems, and we need the ladies to keep us going down the centuries. Yeah, anyway, they are a husband and wife team, I'm pretty sure of that, and they're relatives of Paul, and he says they were outstanding before, they were believers before he was, and also they've been in prison with him. Right? Well, interesting, isn't it, that Paul, some of his relatives finished up in prison with him. Paul did that before he became a believer, you know. He put men and women in prison for being Christians. Now he knows what it's like himself and his relatives as well. Okay, so that's verse 7, right? And then we have, how about this? What we got here? 8 to 10. Good friends and solid believers. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. What a nice thing to say. Yeah. Say hello to Ampliatus. Yeah. He's a good lad. Right? And greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Now, when he says they're dear friends, it doesn't mean to say that all the others are less friends. It's hard to do that sometimes. When you say something nice to somebody, other people might feel, you know, you're being a bit favouritism with them. Not necessarily. Paul's just saying, they're great guys. Say hello to them, please. Yes? Right. And then I like this verse, a wonderful little verse. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what the background was, but tested and approved in Christ sounds a very interesting type of qualification to be, isn't it? What it means is that this guy has stood up for Jesus, I guess. He's been through it, and he's passed the test. Whatever through it was, he did it. Brothers and sisters, you're going to be through it sometime. I hope you'll be in the Apelles. Yeah, tested and approved in Christ. God says, that one's mine. They're mine. Right. So that's dear old Apelles. Right. And then he says this, there's various home group leaders. He says, greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. What a lovely name, eh? Right. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. God, when he began to bring the Gentiles in, did a remarkable and a wonderful thing. And you read the Acts of the Apostles, when the gospel came to various cities, it says, so-and-so believed, and his household, or their household, right? And what God was doing was, he was forming a little church straight off. Right? In other words, often, in general, when God saved somebody, he saved their family, their relatives, so that they've got a support base. Right? Because it's hard being a Christian on your own. In a pagan society, it was even harder being a Christian on your own. So God, in his mercy, brings these little group together to bring them to Jesus and then help them encourage each other. Aristobulus and his household is one of those. He became a home group. So there were home groups in the early church. We'll see a few more as well. In verse 11 he says, greet Herodian, my relative. There's another Jewish man, yes? Paul had a few relatives, it would seem. Yeah? Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Well, Narcissus had a home group as well. That's a good name, isn't it? Right. Right, and then, let's have a look at this. Yes, we've got hard-working ladies for Jesus. How about these? Verse 12. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. And greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. What does it mean to work hard in the Lord? For them, I wonder.
Testifying.
Yes. I should imagine they shared their testimony. I suspect they were very practical in their help as well. You know, providing the food, yes, yes. I won't throw this one out. It's a very sad comment I heard years ago. It was a discussion about leadership in the church. It's not here, long time ago. And a group of people from around the fence gathered together. And he said, Lord bless the ladies, they're wonderful at making tea. Isn't that a put down? That is terrible. That's the guys that changed Junior into Junior's. Yeah. Hey, well, bless him, he'll know better when he meets Junior. Oh, yes. Oh, that'll be good for him. Yes. What I'm saying is, they were good. There's a girl called Lydia in the Gospel, in Acts, sorry. He says she was full of good works. In fact, a friend of mine, he called his car that. When he lifted up the lid, he said, it's full of good works. You know? Anyway, she was so practical. She was good at knitting, good at making garments for people. She helped the widows and the orphans and so on. So the practical side is there as well. But I suspect they were involved in the gospel sharing as well. But we're coming to this lady, these two ladies, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Interesting names. I said what's in the name. Tryphena and Tryphosa. The chances are they're sisters. And because the names are so similar, they may even have been twins. Right? But there's something else about the name Tryphena and Tryphosa. It means delicate. Yes, a tender sort of thing. It's what we would call a posh name. It was given to the aristocrats of Rome. Okay? So these are people from high society. In fact, it is suggested by some people that when Paul talks about greet the household of Caesar, you know, that even people in the household of Caesar have become Christians. Yeah? These might have been a couple of them. We don't know. But they were high-ranking ladies. They were posh, you could say. But he says, what did they do? They worked hard in the Lord. They weren't scared to roll up their sleeves and get alongside the likes of a lady called Persis. Well, I don't know if you know this, probably not, but Persis is a slave name. Often slaves are called Persis. Yeah? So here we have the aristocrats and the slaves. Mind you, slaves have different ranks in society. You know, some of you are fans of Downton?
Yeah.
Right? Well, yes, you know the Downton people, the servants have ranks, don't they? Well, that was true in Rome. There were different ranks of slaves as well, of course. But here we have two posh ladies working alongside a slave lady. And in general society, that would have been frowned on, and you don't do that sort of thing, mixing with them. Well, these were in the Lord. They were working together as equals. That's what Jesus can do for people. Society values really don't matter when Jesus is in on it. Okay? So let's have a look at another one. It says here, I've got two sisters, one lady, and he says, greet Rufus. Rufus. I wonder if he was red. Red hair or something, I don't know. But anyway, chosen in the Lord. What a lovely thing. Do you know God's chosen you? You come to Jesus, right? God's chosen you. You made a choice, but God made a choice as well. Chosen in Jesus. And he says, and greet his mother. We don't know her name. He says, greet his mother, who has been a mother to me too. How about that? In what way would this dear lady, whoever she is, was a mother to Paul? In what way would she have been a mother? Can you make any suggestions?
Wash his clothes.
Wash his clothes. Welcome him into his home. Yeah. Make him feel as one of the family.
Give him advice.
That's true, yes. Give him advice. Cook him a nice meal for him. Find out what his favourite dish is and all of that. Right. Paul is saying, you say hello to Mum for me, because she's been a great help. Yes? Isn't that lovely, yeah? Right, and then we've got these, let's have a look at it. Several families, in verses 14 and 15. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. So just a list of names to us. But these are people. People that Paul knew. And people that Paul wanted to remember and say hello to while when the Phoebe arrives with the letter. Yeah? And then he says this. Let's do the next one. He says, greet one another, say hello to each other, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Yeah? He says, welcome each other. Show your affection for each other. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Right? A holy kiss, because it's the right, proper, chaste way of greeting someone, yeah? Right? And it's good to have some physical contact occasionally, isn't it? That's what it's about, yes? Say hello to the dear brothers and sisters in an appropriate and proper way, okay? And he says this, all the churches of Christ send their greetings. All the churches that he'd been involved with, he says, they send their greetings too. They want to say hi. They want to say, God bless you, right? And what Paul is doing is he's demonstrating, really, what we call inter-church fellowship, isn't he? He's saying, these believers over here want you to know they're praying for you and they care about you believers over there. Right? Because, brothers and sisters, we are not it. We're not it. We are part of it. The big family of God around the world, which is good to know and to be aware of, right? And Paul is encouraging that. And the good thing is, as we do remember that and as we value one another, then there's that sense of unity in it all. And God loves unity, brothers and sisters. Right? There's a lovely psalm, you know it. How good and pleasant it is when... Psalm 134, I think. I'll just check it out. Let's have a look, okay? I think it's there about. Psalm 130 odd. Near the end of 34. That's verse 133. It was a song that was sung as they made their journey up to the temple. They went as a crowd. They shared together, they fellowshiped together, they managed to journey together, and as they get to the temple, the one thing that stands out is, we're here together. Look, it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. Actually, it's not his collar, it's the hem of his garment. It's from top to toe, is where the oil's run. Right, it's all blessing from head to toe, anointing, yes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So all that lovely refreshing snow and rain and dew up on the north comes to the parched Jerusalem. It's just like that, yeah. He says, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Where does the Lord bestow his blessing? In Mount Zion, yes. But he bestows his blessing where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Right? You might be having differences. You might have different ways of doing things, but if you recognise and value another brother or sister in Christ, that's important. In fact, Jesus made a very, very strong point about that. He says, if you give even a cup of cold water to a brother or sister in my name, you're doing it for me. Now that's something, isn't it? So, here we have this bunch of people living in Rome, and Paul says, say hi to them all, and we send all our greetings, he says, because I want God to bless you. Get on together. And that was Paul's letter to the Romans of what it was all about. The Jewish and the Gentile groups could be in danger of splitting and causing their own divisions. He says, look, you work it out together, value each other, believe it's Jesus that holds us together. When you do that, God will command the blessing. And then he writes this. Next, please. Yeah. You wouldn't expect Paul just to I missed this one out. He says, watch out though. There's danger. You know we live in a dangerous world?
Yeah.
He says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. He says, watch out. There's crooks about. And religious crooks of that, they'll come and try and steal your joy, and stop you serving Jesus. He says, watch out. They're, what they're doing is they put, what cause divisions, divide and conquer is their method. Yeah? Don't go for it. Yeah, he says, mark them out, avoid them. Right, so brothers and sisters, there are, I've got them there. What's that one? Can you see the picture? A wolf in sheep's clothing there. Right, yes. The danger. Yes, and we have to watch out, yeah? But there's an awful challenge about these brothers and sisters, and it takes an awful lot of grace. We need God's help, yeah? You need to look out for danger. We must do that. But the danger of looking out for danger is you can slip into what the Ephesian church did. Right? Paul, right, oh no, Jesus speaks to the Ephesian church in the Revelation, and he says this. He says, you've done well, you found out those who claimed to be apostles but weren't, you've sussed them out, and you've rejected what they're doing. He says, but I've got this against you. You've fallen from your first love. The danger is you can be so looking for problems, you miss out loving them. And you, that's the problem. So watch out, be on your guard, but, you know, have a big heart as well. Okay, for the Lord. Yeah? Okay, so that's what he says. And then, verse 19, he says, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus being with you. So, he's saying, you're doing great, folks. It's good to have a bit of encouragement, isn't it? You're doing great, yes? Now, it doesn't mean to say you're perfect. It doesn't mean to say you're all sorted out. But he's saying, you've gone on the road, you're on the journey, you're in the right direction, you're making progress. Brilliant. Keep it up. So he says there, I think everybody's heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you. Everybody's talking about this Roman church. I wonder how many were in the Roman church. I want to say this, it wasn't a mega church, I'm sure. And the reason I can say that is Paul is talking to, 30 odd people here? He knows people there. I don't think it was a massively large church, it was growing, and it would become a big church, a bit with groups of people then. But this is all about the fellowship and the unity of the caring together that he's talking about. But then, he says this, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You're going to win, right? That harks back right to the book of Genesis, you know, when it talks about the serpent. It's in Genesis 3:15. It's the first gospel message, where it says, if I remember rightly, it says, the serpent will strike his heel, but he will bruise his head. Right? The serpent will strike him. It's a fatal blow to Jesus, in a sense. But the son of the woman, it's Jesus, obviously, in the end, will crush the serpent's head. Right? When the serpent's head's crushed, that's the end of the serpent. Right? And he says, Christian, you're going to inherit the blessings that Jesus has got for you. He's crushed Satan. You're going to put your foot on his head as well. It's a bit like... you know, when someone's shot an elephant, they shouldn't do this now, shot an elephant, you know, and you come with your gun, and you put your foot on it, and say, you know, I bagged this one. They used to do that sort of thing, didn't they? Right? Well, it's like the bloke that's bagging brings you alongside. Come on, you put your foot on as well. You demonstrate you're a winner as well. Well, he's saying, because what Jesus has done for us, we're going to be winners against the devil too. Right. Then lastly, next please. Greetings from Paul's team is the last section, right? It's verse 21 to 24. Let's just read that. It says, Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. So that's Paul's team. You see, these are the guys who are with me. They send their greetings to you. Right, now, an interesting little bunch here, right? He says, first of all, Timothy. We know about Timothy, don't we? Right? About the others? Don't know much at all. But they're his relatives. It's good to have relatives who believe in the Lord, isn't it? It's an encouragement. So Paul is going around with these guys. They're serving the Lord together. And then he says, then there's this little bit in, I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. That's, I don't know if you can't see, can you see that? I, Tertius, and I've written the question, who wrote the letter? Who wrote the letter to the Romans?
Paul.
Tertius is the scribe. Tertius wrote it.
Yes.
Right. Tertius wrote the letter, but Paul dictated it, we would say. Yes? Okay. Now, just think about it. Tertius, do you know what the name Tertius means? It means number three. Yeah? When the Romans had families, they had large families, it was number one, primus, number two, secundus, number three, tertius, number four, quartus, number five, quintus. A bit of Latin for you, yeah? Right. That's what they call their kids. It was easy, wasn't it? Yeah? I bet there are a lot of tertiuses around, though. Yeah. But he's number three. He's a slave. Yes, he's a slave. Right. And there we are. Tertius wrote the letter. Yes.
Is that because, you know, they said Paul may have had problems with his eyes and saw mighty?
That is the possibility. It's possibly that Paul had problems with his eyes, but I think there's probably an even better answer, and it's this. Paul was a team man. He involved others. And Tertius was a good writer. Tertius, you've got the job. Write this letter as I say it out. Is that a good work?
Yes.
That's an important job. Look, we would not have had the letter to the Romans except a slave called number three had done his job. You've got jobs to do. There's a work for Jesus number you can do, whatever it may be. And just because you're called number three, don't worry because you're not called number one. Right? Number three had a big job to do. Right, well, you see, there's another one, that's another one as well. Okay, so Tertius does the job, he writes the letter. And then we find this guy called Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Now then, Gaius, he says, I and the whole church enjoy his hospitality. What does that mean? Does it mean that this guy had a big house, he had lots of dosh, in order to home the church, host the church. I think that's what he's saying. Gaius was a man who opened his heart to Jesus and opened his wallet to his friends and the church. Yeah, he was a rich man and he used his riches for Jesus. Gaius does a good job and Paul commends, he sends his greetings. He says, Gaius is a good lad. We enjoy his hospitality. He's a good boy. Right, and then we find, here we have Erastus, who is the city's director of public works. That's in Ephesus, where we are at the time. Erastus was the city director of public works. What's he? He's a civil servant, isn't he? Yes, he's a, I suppose, a fairly high-ranking civil servant. Well, he's the director of public works. He's the bloke that gets all the blame for the dustbins. Things like that, I suppose. Yeah, all the credit, when it, but they don't get credit, do they? But anyway, you get the idea. Erastus, one of these guys who was, let's put it this way, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we ought to be involved in our societies. We are the salt, and if the salt stays in the church, it won't do any good in the society. We are to be involved with God, with the support of the church, in the work that we're involved in our society. Make a difference. So, there should be Christian politicians. I mean, that's almost a contradiction in terms. Isn't it? But no, it's true. There can be, yes. Right? And Christians involved in the police. Christians involved in the army. Christians involved in every area of civic life. Because there where we are, we can make a difference. Yeah? Right. So, Erastus was the director of public works. Sends his greetings. And our brother Quartus sends you his greetings. You know what Quartus is? Number four. Number four. I don't know if he was related to number three. But, yeah. He sends his greetings. That's great. Look at the mix of society that Paul was involved in. It wasn't an exclusive club. The church is not an exclusive club. It's open to all comers to Jesus, from the top of society to the bottom. And all are equal before the Lord. Right? And then we have our final bit, our final greeting. He says, the closing prayer. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. It's a lovely prayer, and it's a sort of a summary of all that Paul has been saying in Romans. If you've forgotten all that I've said, it's on the website, you'll only take 12 hours to get through it. But it's all there on the website. The prayer, he says, now then, give God the glory, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel. He says, this gospel that I've been talking about, it's a wonderful thing because it works. He said in Romans 1:16, it's the power of God to salvation for all who believe. It's a gospel that makes differences in people's lives. He says the other thing about the gospel is there was a mystery about it, something hidden that's now been revealed. The mystery was that the Gentiles don't have to become Jews to be part of this wonderful salvation thing. Right? And that's what Romans is explaining. God has done something in Jesus so that the Jews come on the basis of trusting in him and the Gentiles come on the basis of trusting in him. The Jews remain Jews, they have their practices, their ways, but their faith is in the Messiah, Jesus the Saviour. And for the Gentiles, they have their different ways, but their ways must be so that they don't offend their Jewish brothers with the practices that they go about. Yeah? But they come to Jesus, and they come to salvation through Jesus, just like the others. Right? So he says, this gospel has now been revealed. It's wide open for all, he says. And it's revealed and made known through the prophetic writings and the command of the eternal God, so that all nations, that was the plan right from the beginning. Remember what God said to Abraham? In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Romans is an explanation of what that is. That the good news comes to all nations. It says, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Right. What's the object? He says, is to bring you to the obedience of faith. Right? Get me the right way around. It's not the faith of obedience, it's the obedience of faith. Faith comes first, and then obedience is part of the practice of showing that you believe. That's what Paul is saying. He's not talking about chucking out God's commandments and saying, I can do what I like. No, no, no. He's saying is, you trust in the Lord, and you do what God says. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what are his commandments? He hasn't changed them. Eh? They're still the same. Love one another. Don't commit adultery. Don't go around slagging off your neighbours. Honour God. Don't make idols. They're his commands. Yes. If you love me, keep my commands. The wonderful thing about Romans, this is a quick summary of course, is that without Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you'll never keep the commands. But once you've come to Christ, and once the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, now you've got the power to do what God requires you to do. Yeah? It's the right way around, and it works. The gospel that brings the nations to obedience and to faith. And he gives the last credit to the Lord. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. The only wise God. Right? Real wisdom comes from God. He's the only one. And I put it this way. The only wise God is that you couldn't make this up. You know, if you'd have tried to work out a way of saving fallen, simple human beings, you'd have never come up with the idea of God sending his son to die on the cross and rise again for you. You wouldn't have thought it up. God, in his wisdom, had the solution that works. It destroys sin, it destroys the destroyer, the devil himself, it defeats death, and it brings life and immortality to light. That's Jesus did it for us. Says so, to God, the only wise God, be glory forever through the Messiah, Jesus. He's the one to whom be the glory forever. Well, you're going to glorify him forever? Better do, because that's what it's about, brothers and sisters, that we might love him, know him, and serve him, and glorify him, and enjoy him. Enjoy him forever. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the gospel of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who makes this salvation a reality, a living reality in individual lives. Lord, so that no longer are we just individuals, but part of this family of God, this one united family. Lord, we know that there are divisions, misunderstandings, heartaches and troubles so often in your church. But Lord, your intention is to bring us closer to Jesus. Because Lord, the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we will be to each other. Lord, help us. Grant us your mercy. Forgive us for our sins. Lord, minister your grace in our lives. And thank you for the good news. The good news that Jesus saves completely those who come to God through him. Thank you, Father. And bless you for your people today. Lord, the ones we've read about are long since gone home to glory. We're going to meet them. They're not dead. They're not gone. Lord, they're not lost. Lord, they're in glory with you. And Lord, we're going to see them. I'm going to talk to that Mary and greet that chap of Belize, Lord. We're going to see them. But Lord, thank you. We've got brothers and sisters who are living flesh and blood today. Help us, Lord, not to live in the past, as it were, but to value living brothers and sisters. And Lord, bless you and bless them in Jesus' name.